meeting night. Ain't that what it's supposed to be, prayer meeting? And so we did. We prayed. And I want y'all to get your Bible now, and I want to talk to you about something. Maybe it's a little different, and certainly not what I've been accused of. Psalm 4:7. I'm known as that old fundamentalist preacher, that one that believes the King James Bible from cover to cover. You're that troublemaker over there on John Street, you know. But tonight I want to talk to you about something I think will help you. And it's Psalm 4:7. Psalm 4:7, if you have your Bible. Psalm 4:7. And if you don't have it, look at somebody else's Bible. You need to know these verses. Psalm 4:7. And I'll guarantee you, if you'll look at it, you'll get a blessing. Now, I'm going to talk to you for just a few minutes about joy. There's not many people got it, and certainly not many Christians got it. The average Christian looks like they got the flu most of the time. They don't look like they have much joy. Look like they have a bad tooth. And you ever had a bad tooth? You won't smile much with a bad tooth. And I guess the only thing worse than a toothache is an earache. And the only reason that is you can't touch an earache. And so tonight I want to talk to you Psalm 4:7. And if you'll look at it with me, it says, "Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased." In other words, he said, you put some gladness, some joy in my heart. And it blessed me more than what's happened with them, with their corn and their wine and stuff. But you know, not many people's glad. They don't have much joy. And I got to get up today. Well, what's the alternative? Well, I got to go to the grocery store. Well, what's the alternative? Well, I got to go down there at that old church. Well, what's the alternative? You'll thank God you can get up. You'll thank God you got a grocery store you can go to. You'll thank God you got money to buy a loaf of bread. Amen. You'll thank God you've got a church that you can go to and sit down and people where you can laugh and make fun of rednecks. Amen. And Yankees. You'll thank God for it. Christians of all the people in all the world ought to be the most joyous, glad people on planet Earth. I mean, we're not going to hell. This is the closest we're ever going to be to hell. 105 degrees, that's the closest we're ever going to be to hell right there. Amen? And we walk around with the poochy lip disease, you know, like somebody done licked the red off our candy, and we just pout and go on. Let me tell you something. The day I got saved, my name got written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, in God's Lamb's Book of Life. I was adopted by God the Father. I was adopted into the family of Abraham. I have all the promises of Abraham, and I've got all the promises of God. And the worst thing can happen to me is I die, and then I go to heaven. I mean, that's the worst thing can happen to me. I die, and I go to heaven. Now, why would I be sad about that? Amen? This fellow told me one time, he shook his big old fat finger at me. He said, "You know, I could kill you." I said, "You can't threaten me with heaven." Amen. Worst thing you can do is kill me, then I'm going to heaven. He went home and prayed. And 2 days later, he called me. He said, "Pastor Ron, I need to talk to you." I thought to myself, I was young. I thought to myself, well, you done talked enough, you know. And he said, "I got to apologize to you." I said, "For what?" He said, "My wife told me I need to apologize to you." I said, "Why?" He said, "We was going down the road the other day, and my boys was in the back of the pickup." That's back when you could ride your kids in the back of the pickup. He said, "And this fella run a stoplight and missed the front of our truck by about 2 inches. And he said, the Holy Spirit said to me, you need to go back and apologize to that boy, preacher. You didn't have no business threatening him like that. I could kill you." I said, "Amen, amen." But he didn't have to apologize to me. He didn't scare me at all. We'll have joy. We'll have gladness of heart. Now this world, they'll go down to the liquor store. It used to just be on Friday and Saturday. Now they do it every day. But they'll go down to the liquor store and buy them a pint of something that they think is going to give them gladness. And it's really going to turn around and give them sadness. One of them called me a while back and said, my mama don't talk to me right, and she ain't never hugged me, and she didn't love me like she ought to. And I could tell what this lady was doing. And so I said, you know, alcohol only increases your depression, because alcohol is a depressant, not a stimulant. And when you drink, it makes it worse. Do you not know that? Yeah, I know it. I said, well, sober up and call me back when you're sober. Amen. Of all the people in the world, she's supposed to be saved. Of all the people in the world, why would you want to drink liquor to try to get to feel better when you ought to have the most joy of all the people in the world? Amen. Go over there to Afghanistan, Iraq, Pakistan, all those countries. Look at those people. They've got a lot to be sad about. Amen. Thank God. Look at it with me. Now, we ought to have some joy. Galatians 5:22. And most of you know this verse, but you don't know this verse. Galatians 5:22. Listen to what it says. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now, stop right there. The Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. And what does that mean? That means the Spirit produces something. If you now, let me put you back in school. If I plant an apple tree and it blooms and something grows on it, what is it? Apples. If I do an orange tree and it blooms and something grows on it, what is it? Oranges. And because that's what's in it, that's what comes out of it. And by the way, I don't know how you get oranges and apples out of the same dirt. God had to set that program in place. And so a Christian, what ought to come out of a Christian is the Spirit of God. Now, look at it again. Look at verse 22. And he said, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And what's that next word?
Joy.
Joy. If the Holy Spirit lives in you, then you ought to have joy. You say, preacher, you don't know how bad I got it. I know how bad you used to have it before you got Him. Amen. Well, you don't know what a hard time I'm going through. I know the sun's coming up in the morning. He's promised never to leave me nor forsake me. Amen. I know I'm going to heaven. I know you're going to heaven if you've got Him. So we'll have the fruit of the Spirit is not only, people think, boy, the fruit of the Spirit, that's preaching and witnessing and living holy and all that. Well, there is peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. But one of them is joy. Well, to be happy. We were sitting here a while ago, and of course, we wasn't, it was a little bit in the Spirit. We wasn't talking dirty. Amen. We wasn't saying anything wrong. We was enjoying being at church. We were enjoying our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. That's fruit of the Spirit. There's people all over this town gathering up in bars and sports bars and beer joints and dance halls, crying in their beer, playing that old crying country music song or that old rap junk, and they're going crazy, and they give money to have what a Christian has called joy. They're hunting it. They're looking for it. Amen? And so it is a fruit of the Spirit of God. So if God lives in me, that means there ought to be some joy in me. Amen? Boy, this persimmon face crowd, God ain't in that. I told y'all that story. I'm going to tell it again anyway. Jeff hadn't ever heard it. At my other church, I had a bunch of foreigners. Michigan, Ohio, Illinois. Legal immigrants. And there was a bunch of them, man. And they was like you. They laughed at me all the time. And I'd say, y'all look like you've been eating persimmons. Y'all pucker up, mad all the time, like been eating green persimmons. And finally one of them come to me and said, Pastor, we've been talking. We people from up north, we don't know what a persimmon is. What's a persimmon? I said, you ain't ever seen a persimmon? They're all over the place, man. I said, I'm going to get y'all some persimmons. So the persimmons were green at that time. So I went and picked a bunch of green persimmons, and I passed them out in church to the foreigners because the Southerners knew, and I passed them out. I said, all right, now, this is like a plum. See, it looks like a plum, don't it? I said, yeah, yeah. I said, let's take a bite. I didn't take a bite. They took a bite, and I said, all right, now whistle. You can't whistle after eating a persimmon. And they go, I said, that's what I've been talking about. Christians ought not look like that. Amen. We'll look like we've been eating some good old-fashioned peach plums. Amen. Happy and smiling and shouting and praising God. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, we'll have it. Look at Psalm 132. Psalm 132. Real quick. We're going to stay in Psalm most of the time tonight. Psalm 132. And there's people at home tonight, and they're sitting around watching the news and griping and complaining about the elections and the economy and their boss man and getting ready for school and all this stuff. And they're just as ill as they can be. You wouldn't even know there's Christians. I can't go to church tonight. It's too hot. It's just, and besides that, by the time we get out of there, it'll be past time for me to go to bed. 132, look at verse 16. Psalm 132, look at verse 16. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and look at this, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. I like that. Go ahead. Amen. Shout aloud for joy. You ought to do it every once in a while. You ought to say, thank God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. I ought to be in hell, but I'm on my way to heaven. Amen. Oh, glory to God. It wouldn't hurt you to run every once in a while. Amen. Some of y'all ain't never seen nobody cut a path at church. Amen. You say, preacher, what do you do when they run? I just watch. Leave them alone. Get out of the way. Amen. They're having a good time. You say, well, I just don't believe you ought to do that in church. Well, they used to get drunk. You want them to go back doing that? Amen. Now their joy's coming out of the Lord, and they're showing it instead of getting it out of a bottle. I'd rather them do it at church, wouldn't you? Amen. If you ever want to cut a lap, brother, get up and go ahead. People will get out of your way, I'm sure. And just run. And hey, look, as long as you don't hurt nobody, okay? But we'll just shout aloud for joy. Thank God. You remember when you first got saved, we'd be singing those hymns, we'd start crying. You remember that? You remember before you got a little bit calloused, how the preacher would preach, and you'd say, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because you scared somebody. Boy, church, I got saved in. If you lifted your hand and said, praise the Lord, they'd have said, send him down to Pentecostal Holiness Church. He don't belong in here. They would have. But let me tell you something. The redeemed of the Lord ought to say so every once in a while. And, hey, if you're happy and you know it, you ought to clap your hands every once in a while. Amen. Stomp your feet. Amen. But besides that, the average Baptist, if they've got joy, they need to notify their face because it sure don't show it. Amen. 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 They act like God's dead. They act like he's sick or something. He can't do it. Well, that's what they used to do, preacher, you know, over in the Old Testament. Well, my Bible says God changes not. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. So if he said do it in the Old Testament, why wouldn't you do it in the New? If the New is a continuance, and the New is a completion of the Word of God, why wouldn't you carry it right on over? yesterday, after the morning services, they had lunch there in their fellowship hall. It's gigantic. And lunch was $4. My ice cream was $4. And I had to have some ice cream. And so I used to go to those things. I knew people. I don't know anybody anymore. They all died off. You know, I'm just an old gray elephant in the room or something. And I sat over there, you know, and people began to sit all around me, you know. And this fellow sat across from me, but he didn't speak to me. And so in between mouthfuls, I said, are you from North Carolina? He looked at me and said, are you from North Carolina? No. So, two or three minutes later, where are you from? Me? I said, yes, Virginia. I said, Lord will forgive you for that. He smiled in, you know. He said, where are you from? I said, Rock Hill, South Carolina. He said, you know, Pastor so-and-so, and I'm not going to call his name because we're on the internet. I said, yeah, I know him. I've met him a couple of times. He probably wouldn't remember me. I don't know if he would or not. I said, but our churches are worlds apart, and we're on the other side of the track. I said, he's a Bob Jones man, and his church is full of people, Bob Jones type. They're kind of stiff and quiet people. I said, my church is full of rednecks. I said, we're not real quiet. And I said, Bob Jones people just wouldn't like our church. He said, where'd you go to school? I said, I went to a local school there. It was an extension from Tabernacle up there. Oh, I know Tabernacle. I used to go to church there sometimes when I was going to Bob Jones University. He said, but I like Tabernacle because they were more free. They were more open. Dr. Seitler, in case some of y'all don't know. And he said, they shout and praise the Lord and all that. I said, that's my kind of church. I said, now not everybody in Rock Hill would like my church. I said, some people just, and I understand that. I said, you might not like it. You say, oh, yeah, I'd like it if y'all say praise the Lord and shout. He said, there used to be one man in that church, and you could tell whenever the Spirit started moving because he sat up on the front. Dr. Seitler's church seats about 800. He said, sat up on the front and said, when the Spirit got moving, you know it every time because he'd run a lap. So he'd come out and he'd run up the aisle and down the other aisle and up the aisle and back down the aisle and sit down. You knew it was time then. Start praising the Lord. Said, I said, we don't have any runners yet because we got those sides blocked off, but I'm praying for a runner to come in. I said, most of my folks are so old, if they got to run, they'd hurt themselves. I said, but they're running in their mind and in their heart. They're running. Amen. We ought to. Should we not? Should we not have the joy of the Lord? Amen. Can you show me anywhere in the Bible where it tells us we're supposed to be stiff and unfriendly and cold? No, sir. No, sir. Matter of fact, God doesn't like that at all. He wants us to have the joy of the Lord and to praise the Lord. And it's a promise. He said there in verse 16, it's a promise that we have that. Now, let the Muslims be mean and mad and ugly. Let the Hindus be secretive and shy and feeling sorry for themselves because they don't know if they're coming back as a roach bug or a buzzard. You know, karma and all that junk. Christians, of all the people in the world, will be the happy, joyous. Several times I've been out of town somewhere else preaching or attending conferences, and I've had people to walk up to me, Brother Jeffrey, and they'd say, excuse me, you're a preacher, aren't you? And I'd say, yeah. They'd say, what kind? I'd say, I'm a Baptist preacher. And they'd say, I knew it, I could tell it. We're talking about Walmart. They say, I could tell it from a distance. Twice, two different ladies did that. I one time in Chicago. Yeah. A black lady came up to me and said, I knew it. I knew you were a Baptist. I knew you. I could see the Lord on you. I said, amen. I don't always feel that way, but I'm glad you caught me at a good time. Amen. Amen. Of all the people in the world, that would be our testimony. Boy, Rick went through some hard times, but he's still got a joyous spirit. Amen. Of all the people. My mom was 97, and she can't remember yesterday. She remembers 50 years ago, but she can't remember yesterday. She probably can't remember 2 hours back, but she can remember 40 years ago. And you'll go over there, and you'll see her coming up that hallway, turning that thing. She can't walk, but she's in that wheelchair, and she's turning, and she's smiling while she's coming up the hallway. Got the joy of the Lord. You say, well, I wouldn't want to live in a nursing home. You can live anywhere with the joy of the Lord. Amen. Amen. You can live under a tree with the joy of the Lord. Amen. And it's promised. God promised us that. I wouldn't want religion to where I had no good emotions. Amen. And you know, those still Baptist, well, you know, we do just too much emotionalism. Oh, shut up. If you become a new creature in Christ, you get saved, and you ain't going to hell no more, you ought to get happy about it. You ought to get happy about it. Amen. He promised it to you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10, you ain't listening fast enough. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse 10. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 10. Now, this is the ministry, you know. Verse 1, we then as workers together with him. Look at verse 10. Well, verse 9 says, well, he goes through a long list, pureness and power and honor and dishonor and evil report, good report. Verse 9, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed. Verse 10, as sorrowful yet always, what's that word? Rejoice. You say, well, yeah, it's done how hard I have it. Go back and read this. Look how hard they had it. The Apostle Paul lived in a dungeon and was still inspired to write what you just read. He was in chains, had guards on him 24/7, and still wrote what you just read. And look, sure, we're going to have a hard time. Sure, there's sad times coming. But we ought to always, every one of us, ought to always be rejoicing for what he's already done. You know that story, I never thought about, but that story, Jesus fed, took the little boys, two little fishes, five loaves of bread. You remember that? And he fed, what, 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And how many baskets of fragments, not bags, how many baskets of fragments did he get back? 12. Little boy went to hear the preacher preach, Jesus, with a little sack lunch. His mama packed it for him. And he came back home. I'm sure the apostles had to help him come home because he came back with 12 baskets of food. You never thought about that, did you? The leftovers were greater than what he started with. And boy, we get saved and God blesses us and blesses us and blesses us, and then we get all poochy lip, mad mouth and ugly, and we start complaining and griping and we lose our joy. When if we would just look back, when we came to this thing, we didn't have much. And just look at the fragments of what's left over of what he's done for you in your Christian life. I mean, we got more now, and I'm not talking about just some materially, but the spiritual things and the blessings. Boy, just think of what God's done for you. You got no right to be complaining. You got no right to gripe. Got no right to criticize or be ill about what God's done in our lives. Nobody does. If he didn't do nothing to save you, that's more than you deserve. But go back and look at all the, pick up those little fragments of the things he's done for you since you've been saved. Go back to that day and pick them up along the way and think about all the things, all the answers, the prayers, all the miracles, all the works of God he's done in your life. Pick those things up and then look at it, not have joy. Not have happiness then. Not want to praise the Lord then. Problem is, people just forget where God brought them from. It'll be a constant thing all the time that we'll be able to say, as sorrowful, yet always rejoice. Hadn't been saved long. Was driving that 1978, I think it was, Oldsmobile Carolina Cutlass my mother-in-law gave us. You'd fill it up with oil and check the gas. Fill it up with oil and check the gas. Oil just blew out everywhere. Six cylinders, straight six. The doors that long, you had to pick them up and slam them and slam them to get them shut. The hinges wore off, the doors were so long. Paint falling off. Had to take the vinyl top off because it just bubbles of rust up under there, you know. Just looked like a gray cloud. It was a light blue with gray primer spots all over it where I'd sanded the rust and primered it and sanded going down the road. Hadn't been saved long. went over to Fort Mill to see my mother-in-law after church and ate lunch with her. By the way, we always took my kids to see their grandparents on Sunday after church and still came back to church on Sunday night. Always. We taught them to love their grandparents. And we're coming back home. Well, actually, was headed to church from there. And so we're over there at the 21 Bridge. And Suzanne stands up in that big old couch of a seat in the back of that Oldsmobile. And she leans over between me and my wife and says, "Daddy." Now, she's about four or five years old. She said, "Daddy, we don't want to go to church tonight. We don't want to go back to church." And I said, "Why?" And she said, "It makes you and Mommy cry." Ooh, I started crying. I said, "Baby, that ain't a bad cry. That ain't a bad cry. That's a good cry, baby. You just don't understand why we're crying. There it is. As sorrowful yet rejoicing." Amen? She said, "Okay, sit down." She didn't understand. All she knew is that we cried. She didn't know you could be sorrowful and rejoicing at the same time. I started to say like at our daughter's wedding, Billy, but I really, there wasn't no rejoicing in that. It was all sorrow. Been sorrowful ever since. Amen. Preach that, preacher. Go ahead. Amen. I still got the joy of the Lord. Amen. All right, real quick, Psalm 100, verse 2. Y'all done gone over time. It's y'all's fault if y'all didn't preach me so hard, I could get out of here. Psalm, if you quit saying amen and all that stuff. Psalm 100, look at it. Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with, come into His presence with, singing. Now, you're not going to sing a sad song if you're serving the Lord with gladness. If you've got the joy. Let me tell you something. Now, I've never liked country music. My mama turned me against country music when I was growing up. She played it on the radio every morning while we was getting ready to go to school. And I hated school, so that country music made me think. And it was sad anyway. Conway Twitty singing, "Hello, Wall. Hello, hello, hello." Tammy Wynette saying, "Stand by your man." And then a week later, spelling out D-I-V-O-R-C. She stood by him all the way through divorce court. Merle Haggard singing, "Rednecks, white socks, and blue ribbon beer. I'm a Okie from the Skokie." I wanted to throw up every morning. I wasn't saved. That sad crying in your beer stuff. Amen. Don't bring that to church. Please don't bring that to church. I can't take it. The Lord delivered me from that. I've got a song in my heart. It ain't sad. Don't come up here and sing some sad song. I don't want it. Don't throw cold water on my joy. Amen. I'm having a good time. Do not do that. I can't stand it. And y'all got to admit, there's some Christian songs that'll get you as depressed. Mama's grave don't need no marker. Why you want to sing that? Why you want to sing that? I can't even think of all of them written. You probably don't even know what I'm talking about. But these old people, they know what I'm talking about. It ain't nothing but country music with Jesus thrown in it, like this rock music with Jesus thrown in it. And it's got nothing to do with the joy of the Lord. We'll be praising the Lord and happy even in our worst of time. All right, now, we'll to serve God with that. The average Sunday school teacher does not want to teach Sunday school. They were drafted. Because nobody else would do it. Not you. But the average one. They don't enjoy it. Do you enjoy teaching Sunday school? Well, then this ain't about you. It's about him. But the average Sunday school teacher does not want to teach. So therefore, well, I got to do it. Won't nobody else do it. You ought to close the class. Kids don't need to see that stupid attitude. They don't need to see that. They need to see people that love Jesus and they love loving Jesus. and they love His Word, and they love to share it, and they love to teach it, and they love to preach it. They don't need to see this poor mouth bunch of people that don't want to serve God because they got sin in their life, and they've lost their joy, and they're going to rob everybody else from having any joy too. Amen. Amen. Well, to serve the Lord with gladness. That's what He says. And then last but not least, Psalm 16, verse 11. Psalm 16, verse 11. Deborah's got to go. Psalm 16, verse 11. Five after Deborah. Psalm 16, verse 11. I had forgot till just then. The Holy Spirit reminded me. He said, Deborah's got to go. Psalm 16, verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of... At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now, the only place you're going to find real joy is in the presence of a holy God. Now, people fake it. People fake it. They even sell pills that'll help you fake it. They sell things rolled up in cigarette paper, help you fake it. They sell things in bottles and cans that'll help you fake it. But I'm going to tell you something. The only real joy, according to this, is in the presence of the Lord. The happiest you'll ever be is when you feel the power and the presence and the love of a holy God surround you, envelope you, and just put His arms around you. That's the most joy you're ever going to have in your whole life. I've had joy at funeral. I've had joy at funeral. And people say, I don't know how you do it, Brother Ron. You just don't know who I know. Amen. Amen. I just don't know how they go through that, Brother Jeffrey. I'll tell you how. He's going with them. And He'll give them joy. And look, like I said a while ago, my worst day as a Christian is 100,000 times better than my best day was as a lost sinner on my way to hell. I've got joy. I've got peace that passes all understanding. I can laugh and sing in the midst of trial and tribulation and heartache and heartbreak and disappointment. I can still have joy. I can still praise the Lord. Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And I can see Him doing it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You got it? Did you know that joy is contagious? It's contagious. People's hunting it. They go to the comedy clubs now to pay people to try to give them some. And that ain't even joy. That's just fake laughter. But it's contagious. We get in here and we say, and the Lord meets with us. He was already here before we got here. And we come in, and the Lord meets with us in here, and somebody says, ruin. Ruin. Is that how you say it? Say it, brother. Run, run. Say it again. Run, run, run. Amen. Leave it out to you. Run. No, that's run. I can't do it, but hallelujah anyhow. I got somebody else can do it for me. Hey, amen. And look, you say, well, that's just silly. No, it's simple. And simple means that's profound. That we could find joy and laughter and peace and all the things we're going through. And somebody just says, ruin it. Anyway. Why? Because we've got the joy of the Lord. And that's our strength. And the world don't have it. And lost church members don't have it. And backsliders have lost it. And David said, Lord, restore me, not my salvation, the joy of my salvation. He was saying, Lord, let me see some of those leftovers so I can go back and pick them up. And I'm going to end up with 12 baskets instead of a little bag. Boy, what a Lord. What a God. What a Savior. Amen? Ruined. I'm not ruined. I'm saved by the grace of God. Amen. Come on, brother. Let's get her out of here. We done run late. and she's got to go. It's 10 minutes after.